And this is the Space Show with Andrew and Jay. Aerosols are tiny atmospheric particles that are particularly invisible, or practically invisible, to the naked eye. And yet they have a huge impact on Earth's climate. They exert a direct effect by scattering and absorbing solar and long-wave radiation. This influences Earth's radiation balance. And you see this type of scattering in action when you visit the Blue Mountains. Aerosols also exert an indirect effect on climate. They interact with the clouds, altering the physical and chemical properties of both. This, in turn, changes their influence on the radiation balance. Indirect effects have also been shown to alter cloud formation and rainfall events. The relationship between aerosols and clouds and the resulting influence on Earth's climate is therefore complex. The impacts of aerosols are felt on the Earth's energy balance, hydrologic cycle, and atmospheric circulation. Aerosols and clouds are not evenly distributed in the atmosphere over the Earth's surface, nor do they have all the same lifetimes, although most are not long-lived. These factors have made aerosols and clouds difficult to simulate in climate models, much more so than most other atmospheric constituents. In recent years, routine measurements of aerosol and cloud distributions and properties have been obtained from instruments from the ground, the air, and space. These have helped to reduce some of the uncertainties. However, the impacts of aerosols remains a major area of uncertainty in climate models. These large uncertainties make it difficult to quantify the extent to which human activities contribute to climate change. Now, a few words of explanation. A radar is where radio waves are transmitted and the echoes reflected off objects are collected and analyzed to reveal the distance to and the speed of those objects. A LIDAR, L-I-D-A-R, is much the same thing, but using light waves rather than radio waves. The light is usually from a laser. Unlike radio waves, which pass right through aerosols, LIDAR signals reflect off the aerosol particles. This can both reveal the location of aerosols and the density of the aerosol. Scientists at the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland have developed a new LIDAR system called CATS, C-A-T-S. Now, this is an acronym for Cloud Aerosol Transport System. This remote sensing instrument is designed to provide measurements of atmospheric particles. It was designed to be placed on the external platform of the Japanese experiment module for the International Space Station. From that vantage point, it looked down at the Earth some 400 kilometers below. CATS provided operational aerosol forecasting. In particular, it continued aerosol measurements currently being collected by an aging NASA satellite called Calypso. Calypso is an acronym for Cloud, Aerosol, LIDAR, and Infrared Pathfinder Satellite Observations. It was launched into low Earth orbit in 2006 and is a joint American and French mission. The design lifetime was 3 years, so Calypso has already lasted 4 times this. It can be expected to fail at any time. Indeed, it has been using its backup laser since 2009. It is imperative to get a new LIDAR in orbit as soon as possible if we are to avoid a gap in the aerosol measurement records. NASA is planning a replacement satellite called ICE, but it will not be launched until after 2020. Now, ICE is an acronym for Aerosols, Clouds, and Ecosystems. Now, last week, the ICE Science Study Team published its final report defining the project. Now, if CATS had not reached orbit before Calypso dies, then the aerosol and cloud research community would have faced a significant data gap. Such a gap would have done significant harm to efforts to improve climate models. It would also have set back our understanding of the Earth system and climate feedback processes. To maximize its operational lifetime, CATS used two laser units. These lasers shone down into the atmosphere, where aerosols scattered some of their light back up to the satellite. Instruments on the CATS detected and analyzed the reflected light. The lasers operated at 5,000 pulses per second. Because the International Space Station is moving forward at 8 kilometers per second, the lasers emitted a pulse every 1.5 meters along the ground track. CATS was launched into space as part of the Japanese H-2 transfer vehicle in early 2014. Once the HTV reached the International Space Station, it was captured by a remote manipulator arm. Another robotic arm on the Japanese experiment module took the CATS instrument from the HTV to the exposed facility where it was left. Power and downlink data capability for CATS was provided by the International Space Station. Doing this provided significant cost savings over using a dedicated satellite. Power and attitude control and data handling did not need to be built as they were already present on the space station. The CATS instrument operated for 33 months, allowing scientists a unique capability for studying changes in cloud and aerosol properties. Well, we now have a feature from the European Space Agency describing how that agency is contributing to the effort to monitor deadly air pollution.
Earth, home to 7.5 billion people, all of whom can be affected by pollution and climate change. A decline in air quality, such as smog, poses massive risks for people's health. One of the main contributors to climate change is the pollution of our atmosphere by greenhouse gases such as CO2 and methane. This is why measurements on air pollution need to be done everywhere, like here, for instance, with the mobile measurement station at the University of Bremen. It detects smog and industrial emissions. These local measurements supplement and validate the global observations from satellites, which in turn are needed for scientists to study the air we breathe and the planet we live on.
In general, we have this problem of unambiguously identifying anthropogenic impact from natural phenomena or natural behavior in this complex system and how we're modifying it. So this is the challenge for the science, which is a necessary prerequisite to enable good legislation and ultimately sustainable development. So in this context, measurements from space are essential because they provide us with the global picture, or from the local to the global scale.
Earth observation is one of the spearheads of the European Space Agency, ESA, in general, and measuring air pollution is indeed part of it. One of the satellites that has given scientists massive amounts of data on atmospheric pollution was Envisat. The satellite used several spectrometers to detect ozone and trace gases in our atmosphere. The results of the 10-year Envisat mission are still being studied today, and this data is crucial for scientists.
Well, the satellites are a key information base and knowledge base for the study of atmospheric physics, chemistry, and meteorology. It's essential data because we need to know not just what's coming out at a given place, but we need to know where it's going, where it's depositing at the surface, how it's being transformed. Is it going to be taken up by clouds and rained out? If so, where? And this whole transport and transformation process is a complex business.
The tracking of air pollution is also part of the European Union's Earth Observation Programme Copernicus. The Sentinel 4 and 5 missions will be carried by Meteo satellites and are dedicated to monitoring the composition of our atmosphere. A third Copernicus mission, the Sentinel 5 precursor mission, will launch later this year and will continue the legacy of Envisat. By combining satellite data with the local measurements on the ground, scientists can properly monitor air pollution and how this impacts us and our planet.
We have lots to understand to assess the impact. Ultimately, more pollution is bad for health, bad for people, and the estimates are somewhere between 3 and 7 million people a year die prematurely from air pollution. This is a large number of people.
At the forefront of Earth observation, the European Space Agency helps understand climate change and pollution by giving scientists and policymakers the data that can drive legislation. Hopefully, all working together for a sustainable future for mankind.
The Latin word for Earth is Terra, T-E-R-R-A. So it's no surprise, then, what a satellite called Terra would be doing. Well, NASA's Terra satellite is now approaching its 20th birthday, which will be on December the 18th. It has completed more than 100,000 orbits of the Earth. Originally known as AM1, the Terra satellite was conceived as the first in a series of three platforms, each with a prime mission lifetime of 5 years. The term AM denoted that it would pass over the equator in the morning. Other satellites in the Earth Observing System were called PM because they crossed the equator in the afternoon. Both AM and PM satellites were to be placed into polar orbit so they could photograph the entire globe. As the Earth observing plans evolved in the 1990s, Terra morphed into a single mission that has now lasted longer than the combined planned lifetime of the original three-satellite concept. Current predictions are that the Terra satellite has enough fuel to be able to continue to operate into the 2020s. Now, Terra is 640 kilometres above the Earth and is nearly the size of an old Melbourne tram. The five scientific instruments aboard Terra have accumulated one of the longest-running satellite climate data records. This is yielding immediate benefits in such areas as public health. For example, 15 years of pollution data in California has recently been analysed by scientists. They discovered that the state's clear air programs have been successful in reducing particle pollution. When Hawaii's Kilauea volcano erupted, Terra provided crucial information about the air quality and the surrounding land change conditions. This informed critical public health and safety decisions. Terra monitors bushfires daily, and the data is used to protect people's lives. No wonder, then, that Terra is considered to be the flagship of NASA's Earth Observing System.
And finally tonight, the Jason 2 Earth Science Satellite has ended its mission after 11 years in orbit. NASA announced that the spacecraft ended science observations on October 1 after weeks of problems with the spacecraft's power system. Jason 2 was formally decommissioned on October 10. The mission, jointly developed by the US and France, was intended to operate for only 3 to 5 years, but continued working even after the launch of its replacement, Jason 3, in 2016. The spacecraft collected data on rising sea levels. Interestingly, Jason 2 may remain in orbit for as long as 1,000 years. The spacecraft's orbit, more than 1,300 kilometres high, prevents controllers from deorbiting it within the 25-year timeframe established in orbital debris mitigation guidelines. The spacecraft will instead remain in orbit for 500 to 1,000 years, its orbit decaying at an initial rate of just 40 metres per year.